Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Wow. Am I rusty after a couple of hours out of this studio? Yeah, a little bit. We'll figure it out together. It's the final hour of Oilers Now. It's brought to you, as always, by World of Spas. Aching after a long day, World of Spas has tubs designed with your relief in mind. Rest, recover, relax with World of Spas, Alberta's number one swim spa dealer. Visit worldofspas.com. Looking to connect here with Louis DeBrusque from Sports Net. The fish is so far evading the bait, so we'll see where this goes, but overall lots of discussion at 780-496-0063. Is the team going to miss Kleem Costin this year, at least out of the gate, because they haven't replaced him, and for my money they are going to miss him. I don't think we can look at what happened in last year's playoffs and the egregious liberty taken on Leon Draisaitl and think that that's not an avenue that other teams are going to try and pursue towards getting past Edmonton. You're not going to outscore the Oilers most nights, so you got to find another way to beat them. And while there's a rule book in place, you got to have some other people out there who kind of, set a different tone. Evander Kane talked about being so desperate to return from that arm injury, not because he wanted to come out and score a bunch of goals and return to the ice and contribute that way. He wanted to come out and provide a different sort of element. And again, we've said it time and again that it cannot fall on his shoulders 100% of the time. So what role player can you find that can fill a little bit of that? Maybe you're sitting there thinking that they don't need any of this filled. Maybe you think that it could be an Adam Ernie or a Brandon Sutter that is ultimately providing enough of the sandpaper if they are in a roster spot. We'll see. I'm not so convinced about that. And I'm not convinced that Louis DeBrusque would be either. We'll find out. Maybe. Might have to wait till next week. I don't know. Jeff Walker working feverishly on the other side of the glass there. I'll tell you right now that some guests of Oilers Now receive gift cards to Japanese Village, Edmonton's favorite teppanyaki steak restaurant. Book your celebration for the senses at jvedmonton.ca. Yeah, get those texts in here, 780-496-0063. That's the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Are the Oilers, are they going to be hurting without Kleem Costin? Lloyd Minster, this texter says they lost their sandpaper when they didn't bring him back. What a long, oh my. That's a very long text message right there. Reed Wilkins sitting in the studio. We'll pull the safety chute here, Reed, and welcome you into the show. Thanks. It's kind of nice having you around the building.
Well, I work here.
Yeah. I mean, same. And we got hockey going on.
We do.
And last night we saw them win for the first time in the exhibition campaign, and the big boys were all dressed, and for the most part to me they looked pretty darn good out there. Run of penalties through the middle of that game that made it choppy, but overall getting to see Connor end the game in overtime the way that he did just reminds us all of what hockey season in Edmonton feels like these days.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very preseason game. I think they had some good moments. I think there were times where it wasn't quite as inspired as it could have been. I do think Connor Brown was going full force as he's getting back up to speed. He looked very good. He's what the Oilers need up there. They should have a true top six, which even as they've become much better the last couple of years, they haven't really had, even through these four consecutive years in the playoffs. So I think that's encouraging. The penalties, and Rob and I talked about this last night, and Rob brought up that we talked about it a year ago, that they had some penalty-filled games last preseason, and then they had some penalty-filled games early last regular season. So I do worry a little bit about that becoming a habit. It's like, oh, I'm just going to take a shot at the guy. Oh, you know, I just feel like slashing him, so I'm going to. I don't know. I worry a little bit about that creeping in, and you're, you know, shorthanded six times a game in the preseason, and then you're shorthanded five, six, seven times a game once you get into the regular season. So I that wasn't great to take those penalties. So I know, obviously, Nurse wanted to do a little message sending to, was it Dakota Joshua?
Yeah.
And I know Draisaitl was upset at a guy, too. So, yeah, I mean, I guess you're walking the line, but hopefully that they kind of sort that out and sort of realize, okay, well, that's not a habit that we want to have.
You want to play, you know, they're difficult to play against, but you can't get in the habit of becoming your own worst enemy, right?
Right.
Because their penalty kill last year was nowhere near the top of the league.
Right. Yeah. Now, hopefully they sort that out. And, you know, Leon said we can't beat ourselves when he gave that clip a couple weeks ago when they were doing the captain skates. And I think penalties is part of that. I think when you hear Leon say that, or at least when I did, the first thing that comes to mind is like, okay, the egregious defensive errors or the lapses where you give up two goals in 3 minutes or whatever. But I think the penalties are a part of that. That is a way to beat yourself. That is a way to kill momentum. That is a way to give another team a chance, right? As there's 2 minutes left in the second period, you're up two. Are you going to make sure you stay disciplined, or do you take a penalty and make the other team think, hey, we score here, we got the momentum down one going to the third, and we're feeling good that we just got a goal. I mean, look, it is the, I admit, though, it is the preseason. Perhaps it's nitpicking, but it's something that did carry over into the season last year. The great goal in overtime, we see what Bouchard can do. I mean, that's a reset play where he's thinking, okay, take it back. One of the forwards will loop back for it. Do I hit? And then bang, it's right up the middle with the perfect pass. And that's the strength of Bouchard. And I think that's what we're going to see more from him this season at even strength, probably in 3-on-3 overtime and certainly on the power play. I mean, I think, I know I've seen a few different point totals out there. I think 60 for Bouchard is certainly realistic. I mean, 70 to 80 for a defenseman, that's obviously next level.
Mm-hmm.
But he will be on the power play, and they should score a ton of power play goals. And I know whenever we talk about Bouchard, oh, well, he doesn't hit, he doesn't defend. I get it, but you also have to let players play to their strength. And Draisaitl kind of said that today, where he's like, well, like, there are reasons that we win, even though, like, I think he was kind of asked, can you score as much, or sorry, can you defend better and score the same? And then he was asked, well, would you guys be as good a team if you didn't have this power play? And he was kind of like, well, we could be, but they have the power play. That's like, yeah, that's like saying, would Donovan Bailey win the gold medal if he wasn't fast? Like, well, no, that's the whole point.
Yeah,
that's the way to be good is score goals and be on the power play.
Would Muhammad Ali have been a title without a right hand? You know, like, it doesn't...
But that's what we're talking about now with the team. They have obvious and pronounced strengths. You know, they're not okay on the power play. They don't have a power play that sometimes can swing a game. They have a power play that's always dangerous and can often swing games. So I don't look for ways to detract that or say, like, well, what if this went away? Well, they have it. It's a reason they're good. And then the whole thing, can they score the same and allow fewer goals? I say, why not? I don't think it's mutually exclusive that playing better defensively means you score less. Now, it might mean you need to score less. Sure. But, I mean, there were games last year, the second half, I mean, where, like, how bad did they beat Pittsburgh? Like, they beat some teams where they didn't allow a lot of goals and they scored.
They didn't beat them bad enough that Sam Kostenberg or whatever out of the Pittsburgh Tribune voted McDavid fifth in the MVP.
Oh, yeah,
rank.
That was him. Yeah.
Fifth.
Yeah. Who did he have first? I don't even remember.
No, I you know what, when you put McDavid fifth, I don't continue reading your ballot. How's that? Stuart Skinner looked strong. He looked good.
Yeah, Skinner had a good game, which I was curious to see because he didn't have a great playoff. And, you know, how did he deal with that over the summer? And I know I had a text last week that every time a player has a baby or a goalie has a baby, they start. Was that you and me talking about that? I can't remember. But, yeah, I thought he looked really good. He was really tested in the second half of the game. The goal that went in, which was pretty much at the halfway point of the game, was only the sixth shot for Vancouver, and they got up to 22. So they had 16 in the second half of the game. They had three or four really good chances in the third. Teddy Bluger had a couple. There was a Tyler Myers shot that got tipped right in front, and he had to shoot the pad out on that. So he looked very confident. And I like the approach of not splitting the games with the goaltenders. Yeah. Like, let a guy get into the flow. You know, it's his game. You can't have one goalie. You know, like if...
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Think about the mental exercise that Skinner had to go through, and we saw it several times over the course of last regular season. The mental exercise and being alert enough by the time the sixth and seventh and eighth shots start to barrage along after 40 minutes of hockey or 35 minutes of hockey where you've only seen five pucks. If you get taken out halfway through that game, you never see the barrage and you're never tested that way. Yeah. So again, I think you know, if you're, he said post game, he wants three total preseason games. They're going to get to do that. I'm sure.
Well, it's probably going to go Campbell, Skinner, the last five games. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, Pickard and Rodrigue may just be around now too. Help with the still, there's still enough players for two groups of practices, right? So you want to have three or four goalies around. But it was a, it was an okay game. Again, you know, Brown played well. I think Sutter is quietly doing his job. I'm not sure about Ernie. If he's done really anything that makes me think he has been able to stand out. You know, some of the younger defensemen who are going to be, or I guess the minor league defensemen, they're not all real young.
I mean, Ben Gleason.
Gleason had a decent game. I think Kemp is an interesting prospect. I mean, really good with Bakersfield last year. He seemed relatively efficient last night. So, yeah, I mean, I think some of those individual storylines are fine. I mean, the big guys didn't go out there and get 3 points each or score two power play goals, but I think that they'll be fine once the games count.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's tough to discern much of anything right now. Elliot Friedman saying yesterday on the show or the day before that really it's up until the second week of preseason before you start to see anything that you can use as real pertinent information or stuff that you can take forward. Having said that, though, I have really like the early signs of Brandon Sutter. I saw him, you know, defensively speaking, he was in low defensive zone support. He kind of picked up a puck, skated it up out of the zone, got the clearance himself, and I don't think that he looked like his skating was out of place in that instance, so didn't stand out for negative reasons otherwise. Then I'm watching him win defensive zone draws with the right-handed shot late in a game, and I'm thinking, this is good. This is what they hoped they were signing.
And the thing with the PTO, and I think Ernie is interesting as well, but Sutter is trying out for that very defined role, and they don't really... Now, maybe Adam Ernie is going to be the one that makes the team. I don't know. But Ernie doesn't really have a role that is set. You know what I mean? It's like he's... Well, I mean, he's a winger trying out on a team that needs us, preferably would need a center. So it's almost like he has to do more, because if he matches some of the wingers they already have, it's not enough. Whereas, you know, Sutter can kind of be himself, and I think Ernie might have to like do more than like not more than Sutter, but he might have to do things to make him stand out a little bit more.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think Sutter's been fine so far, and that would make the Oilers. I remember listening to John Short in like the mid '80s. The Oilers were already good. Maybe they hadn't quite won a cup yet. And I remember this guy calling in and said, "The Oilers need a Sutter." And John Short was like, "Well, like which Sutter? There's like six of them. Just trade for a Sutter. They need a Sutter." So if that guy is still with us, he may finally get his way.
Yeah. Well, they had a Vandermeer at some point. There's a lot of those guys running around Alberta as well. It's 6:19 in Edmonton. Louis DeBrusk has escaped the hook. I guess we'll try and reel him in another day.
He's probably hunting.
Well, that's what I thought, too. I don't know if it's legal at this time of year yet. 780-496-0063. Is it hunting season
some
yet?
Type of hunt. I don't know much about hunting, but he was telling me he was hunting last week, I think. I think it might be elk.
Huh. There's been a lot of teams hunting elk around these parts. Yeah, yeah. Second half of the season has been a lot different. I will tell you, and I mentioned this to Jeff in the first half hour of the show, I shook Louis's hand again last night. Not the first time we've met, but that guy's a bear. That is a huge human being. And thinking about him tilting with, I mean, any number of people in the 1990s and early 2000s, good grief. I take pity. The show's called Oilers Now, and we do live in oil country. Brentridge Ford, proud to support and be associated with the show, but of course there is a market for some electric vehicles out there as well. Boys at Brentridge have a brand new 2022 Mustang Mach-E GT Premium, originally listed for $93,300, but with some Ford rebates and a large Brentridge discount, the SUV now available for just over $73,000 plus GST. If you're considering a new EV, you'll want a bargain, call Uncle Milt, Rich, Johnny, and the gang at Brentridge Ford, 780-352-6048. Remember, although you already know, that cars cost less in Wetaskiwin. Jace says bow hunting's legal already. Maybe that's what he was doing.
Well, Louis does bow hunt, so yeah. That must be it, yes. That is not something I know much, if anything, about, except no. When Louis tells me he's out doing it, then I'm like, I guess you can hunt.
We tried to get him on from the boonies in the mountain one time, did not work out. Struck out here, but we've got old reliable Reed Wilkins with us. Maybe he'll stick around when we come back on Oilers Now. We've got a few things floating around on the text line, but there's a lot of people confirming that bow hunting season has indeed been open since the 1st of September.
Okay, good.
Spreading the knowledge here.
Thanks.
And I wish this person had attached the name to the photo that they sent of this. I assume this is a mule deer? Is that? No. That's a moose.
I think that was a moose, wasn't it?
That's got to be a moose. This is the biggest bloody thing I've ever seen.
The antlers.
They're huge. Yeah, that's a moose.
That's got to be a moose.
How on earth does that swim? A moose swim?
They're athletic animals.
Huh.
All animals are athletic.
The moose. What a nickname for Mark Messier. Yeah, that adds up.
I have never hunted, and I know when sometimes people hear that, oh, you're again. No, I just haven't done it. I have no problem with the individuals texting in. Even the picture the guy sent me. I think it should be done legally, and I think the large majority of hunters do. Like, but I wonder what some of the passionate hunters think when they hear about people hunting outside of season, or when you hear about the African safaris killing an endangered animal, or I don't know what's legal and stuff. Like, I wonder if they are kind of like, well, I hunt and they're doing it. They're just whatever. I choose to follow the rules. They don't, or if they get upset, where they're like, come on, you guys or you people, like, we're gonna hunt. Let's all agree that there are rules we should respect and do it that way. I'm curious because I don't know a lot of people who hunt. Just well, Louis, I guess, Jason Moss. He used to go hunting on bye weeks when he was here.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a lot of great territory. It's Joey that sent this great picture of the moose. Says he's on the way home with it right now, actually.
Oh, wow, that's a... He just...
Literally, at some point, obviously earlier today or yesterday.
Yeah.
Caught this. That is... It's a beauty. That
so
is...
So, I curious... Is it Joey?
Joey.
If you're driving, don't text. You can tell us later or email us and we'll get it later. Like, is that... I assume, meat. So all for yourself, for your family? Do you share it? Do you process it yourself? Does it go to a butcher? Or what? Like, I'm just curious. I don't know the process. Like, I admit I'm quite ignorant about it, but I'm just curious what he would do with that. That's a large moose.
Yeah, Jace and Jay, Jan, all of these people texting in saying, no, it's as a legal hunter, poachers are the bane of my existence, kind of a thing, because it gives all hunters a bad name.
Yeah, which it shouldn't, because, like, yeah, I mean, I think there are rules for a reason when it comes to this, and it makes the activity more valuable and fulfilling for everybody, right? So I'm glad to hear that nobody's like, if you want to poach a little bit, go ahead. I'm glad we're getting that reaction.
Jace says, I hunt for meat to feed the family. Some trophy hunting, but I bet you it's unique for everybody. We're talking about this right now. If you're tuning in
why are we talking about this?
Where our guest, Louis DeBrusque, is. He's typically with us on a Thursday for our friends at GCL Diesel, providing service, genuine diesel parts and turbochargers at great prices for over 50 years. Visit GCLDiesel.com. We can only assume that he's out in the shrubs, because we called him about a half hour ago and he didn't pick up. I bet you would have if Bob was hosting tonight. Boo. You know who I did have a conversation earlier today with, though? That's the general manager of the Edmonton Oil Kings, Kurt Hill. We'll hear from him after Randy Kilburn. Yeah, it is Randy Kilburn. He told me that earlier today. He's going to bring you the next set of global news headlines.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.